I have the distinct privilege of introducing Brother Eric. If you'll come, Brother Eric. While he is coming, I want to say a few things concerning Eric's ministry. Some of you know these things, and some newer members may not. But Brother Eric, 39 years ago this past month, began Advance America. Wasn't called Advance America then. Citizens, Concerned Citizens.
For the Constitution.
For the Constitution. Eric has been called of God to do what he's been doing for 39 years. There is not another state in our union that has an Eric. Not one. They may have a watchdog of sort, but they do not have an Eric. Just since I have been here, and seeing what he has prevented down at the State House is unbelievable. Whether it's a threat against our church, a threat against the family, a threat against moral purity and righteousness, or a threat against our school or homeschoolers. Eric has provided conservative leadership based on biblical principles. Not based on what he thinks is right, but what he knows is right from the Bible. Now, many politicians are like a deer in the headlights when he talks this stuff. He confuses people. He's angered people because he's tenacious. He will not change for the sake of being bought or pressured. He has integrity. And I'm privileged to not only be his pastor, but I get to see the inside of his ministry as part of the leadership of his board, and so does Pastor, and just a handful of pastors are around the state. I told the pastors on the board and the athletic directors on our board just on Thursday night and Friday at a board meeting. And I spoke to Brother Eric's ministry. The Indiana Association of Christian Schools supports him monthly or annually, just like we support him monthly. And when I got through talking about especially this matter of school choice, Eric is the one that introduced that bill in school choice, along with Dr. Bennett and Governor Pence. They got behind it and got the money following the students and forged the way to vouchers. We were the first state in the union to do that. He is the reason for it. And now schools in our association has literally gotten over these 4 or 5 years of vouchered students, literally our churches have gotten millions of dollars, and rightly so. And I told those board members sitting around the table, I said, this is the man that we need to thank. Now, I'm a strong advocate for Brother Eric because I'm his pastor. And I have been extremely strong with pastors about supporting him and praying for him and having him come and preach. When you leave tonight, you will not scratch your head and say, I wonder what he was trying to tell us. It won't happen. You'll know. I consider it a great honor to be his pastor and his friend. And I'm thankful for what God is doing in the state of Indiana through Eric. I hope that every church member will go out on our website that could not make it here tonight for whatever reason and listen to his message, because it's going to be a two-part message. He's going to show us the dangers of what's happening, and there's some serious issues that he's going to talk about. And then he's going to preach, and both of them will match, and we'll know clearly exactly what the Lord would want us to do because of it. Eric, We love you.
Thank you, Pastor. We appreciate you so much.
Thanks,
Pastor. Appreciate it.
God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor. The ushers have a handout. Let's go ahead and give one to every adult. While they're doing that, turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. You know what I ought to do right now? Pastor, you did such a great job. We just ought to take the offering. How about that? I don't need to say anything else. No, thank you, Pastor, for those kind comments. It's great to have Pastor Arrowood and Pastor Defoe in the leadership of Advance America. Thank you, Pastor Defoe. Thank you, Pastor Arrowood, for your involvement for many, many years. And thank you for the involvement of this church. Vicki and I will be back at the table afterwards for people that want to sign up or renew their involvement in the Proud Hoosier Partnership. But these are indeed troublesome times, but they are not hopeless times. There's something tonight that everybody can do in this battle for freedom, especially for the children. As we talk about this tonight, it has become clearer and clearer over the years that the attacks on the church are geared toward getting to the children. The attacks on our Christian school involve getting to our children. The attacks with regard to the public school children, over a million children are in public schools. It's an attack geared toward getting to the children. And that's going to be abundantly clear as we talk about some things tonight that are going on in the Indiana General Assembly. This is our 40th legislative session since we began Citizens Concern for the Constitution in 1980, now Advance America. The legislature has only been in for 2 weeks, and yet the dangers that we are facing now here in the state of Indiana are probably the most dangerous times in the history of Advance America. And as we head toward the upcoming election after this legislative session, this is a critical year in the future of Indiana and the future of America. But again, the situation is not hopeless, because it's still true that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It still is true that the Lord is looking for people to pray to him, to ask the Lord to do miraculous things, because these are dark days. If you've got a child or a grandchild or great-grandchildren, this is tough times for them. The future for them, morally, not just economically and socially, but morally, is extremely, extremely grave. But I'm going to lay out tonight some things that you can do concretely here in the state of Indiana to continue to keep the freedom that we have. But even more than the freedom that we have, I want to stop just being on the defense. I want to go on the offense even more and take back some of the things that even we've lost here in the state of Indiana. With that in mind, look at 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Corinthians 15:58. It's a wonderful verse about tonight and where we are in these battles for families and for freedom and for righteousness. And kind of an admonition, not so much an admonition, but an encouragement about what we ought to be doing in light of the society, the culture in which we're living today. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, Christians, therefore, my beloved brethren. Now, here is a command. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Therefore, my beloved brethren, because of what went before in 1 Corinthians 15, because of all that, because of the fact that we, those of us that are saved, have a home in heaven, because we know the Lord is coming back soon, because of those things, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always, not just one day a week, 2 days a week, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege of being here tonight at Cross Point Baptist Church. Thank you for the leadership of Pastor Defoe and now with Pastor Arrowood, that this church continues to be a lighthouse, not only on the west side of Indianapolis, but because of the outreach here in our state, because of the missionary outreach around the world. But Lord, let the greatest days be yet ahead for this church and for every family here. Lord, help them to understand what Pastor does. That, Lord, you've ordained the home, and you need to be the center of our home. And you've ordained the church, and you are the center of this church. But you ordained government, Lord. And the reason why we've got so many problems is because people making decisions are not following the word of God with regard to those decisions involving government policy. So, Lord, help us to understand tonight that we can indeed, we have an obligation to influence government for righteousness. Let us go out of here not discouraged, but encouraged, looking forward to more victories in Indiana, just like we've had in the past. In Jesus' name, amen. Take that envelope that you've got and open it up, please. It's fuller than usual. You know why? Because we had to put an alert in there with a bill that came out just the middle part of last week. You've got a card. If you're on our email list, then you got the email that we sent out Friday concerning the last bill I'm going to talk about today, House Bill 1322. If you're not getting our emails, then please sign up tonight and get the email updates. Because of social media now, you can take the message that you get with our emails, put that out on Facebook, put it out through emails. You can spread what we put out wider than we've ever been able to do before. You've also got in there a glove compartment accident guide. As you know, the Christians in our law office handle a variety of cases, the attorneys do. So put this in your vehicle. If you're ever involved in an accident, has things that you ought to be able to, you need to put down there in this glove compartment accident guide to help you. Also, we do wills, estates, guardianships, family law, all kinds of things. We don't charge for that phone call. If we can help you, as in the past, please give us a call. Now, before we look at your eyes and ears in state government, that's the first thing I want you to look at. These are bills that are going on now in the General Assembly. For those that are new to Crosspoint or have not heard me speak before about Advance America, let me fill you in real quickly. Advance America is nonpartisan, tax-exempt, educational. We don't endorse any candidate or any political party. My job is to serve as your eyes and ears in government. Politicians know. You've heard about fake news out in Washington, D.C. You know what we have in Indiana? We have no news. Because the things I'm going to talk to you about tonight are very, very important to every family, and yet most of these have not been printed. If you listen to the news on the radio, read the newspaper, listen to the evening news, maybe at 6 o'clock and 11 o'clock, you wouldn't know 99% of what goes on at the State House. And they know that. The politicians know that. The politicians don't want you knowing what's going on. Now, these are Republicans and Democrats. There's a handful of people down there that stand with us on biblical values. They want everybody to know everything. The vast majority of legislators down there do not want you knowing what you're going to hear tonight, because they know this, that if you know what I'm going to talk to you about tonight, then you'll do something about it. They count on you not knowing what's going on, not knowing who to get a hold of, when to get a hold of them, and what to say to them. So literally, it's still true, 10 to 15 emails or phone calls on the issues I'm going to talk to you about tonight is an avalanche down at the State House. Again, because the politicians know that you're busy raising your family, you're busy working, that life is busy. But they know that they can do things down there without being held accountable unless you find out what's going on. Since we started in 1980, there used to be a variety of organizations that kind of dovetails some of the things that we do. But, Pastor, I appreciate those kind comments. Here in the state of Indiana now, those number of organizations that have stood with us over the years have gotten smaller and smaller and smaller. Let me tell you about churches real quickly. The number of churches when we started in 1980 that were willing to take a stand on biblical values has gotten smaller and smaller and smaller. Politicians kind of know that, so they're willing to push the envelope. The things I'm going to talk to you about tonight never would have been introduced even 10 years ago, let alone 20, 30, or 40 sessions ago. So let me tell you, there is a dividing line between what's happening today, and there's no middle ground anymore down at the State House. There are people that take a stand on things that are biblically right, and there are people that oppose us on these. There's hardly nobody in the middle anymore. Let me just give you five examples. Number one, things that are biblically right. Number one, parents are responsible for raising their children, not the government. That's a line. The other line is, no, the government's going to take control of the children. You're going to see that tonight. The second issue is marriage is between one man and one woman. The other side is, no, 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 two people, three people want to get married. That's okay. Next one is, God only made male or female. You can have hormone treatments, you can have surgeries, you can dress a certain way. And the wrong side says, yeah, you can transition, that's their word, transition into being a female if you're a male. Our side says, well, the Bible says that God created male and female, and until the day you die, you're going to be male or female because sex is immutable. You can't change that. The other side says, no, 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 you can be whatever you want to be. The fourth issue is churches and their ministries, we believe, should be free. Free to operate their various ministries without the government telling them what to do, who to hire, how to operate. The other side says, no, no, no. The government has a responsibility to regulate what churches and Christian schools do because we want to make sure that things are done right in their eyes. The fifth issue concerns abortion. 1973, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that abortion was legal. Abortion is murder. Abortion is wrong. Abortion is the taking of an innocent human life. We abort a baby here in America about every 26 seconds. Millions of babies have been aborted since 1973. Our side says life begins at conception and abortion is wrong. The other side says, no, no, no. Up until the birth of that baby, it's okay to go ahead and take that baby's life. That's where we are in Indiana. There's hardly no middle ground anymore. It's crystal clear where people stand. They're either with biblical values or they are opposed to biblical values. Their overall goal with regard to children and churches is this. They want control of the children. You're going to see that. Because they want to indoctrinate them into what they believe children ought to be believing. And those things are morally and biblically wrong. But their goal is to indoctrinate children, capture their heart and their mind, and destroy their innocence. With regard to churches, their goal is to either put enough pressure on churches to get them to be silent about talking about political issues. No, these issues we're going to talk about tonight are not political. They are biblical issues. But they want to either silence the church or shut them down. That's their goal. So with that in mind, let's look at the issues. Issue number one, protecting children and parental rights in the public schools. Over 1 million children are currently in the public schools. Senator Dennis Cruz, a Christian man from Northeast Indiana, introduced that bill, Senate Bill 129. It says this, you can't do mental health screenings of children. You can't do psychological testing of children. You can't do any of that without prior written informed parental consent. What's the role of schools? It used to be in the early days of America in the public schools to impart knowledge, to teach them facts, to teach them academics. We've gone far from that here in the state of Indiana. There are some wonderful Christians teaching in the public schools, and they're involved in administration. But the overall philosophy and curriculum and instruction in the schools, most of it is not dealing with academic instruction. It's dealing in trying to mold that child into what the government wants it to be, and that molding involves things that are morally, biblically wrong with regard to sexuality, with regard to free enterprise, with regard to economic issues, with regard to free enterprise versus socialism. That's where a lot of the instruction, the molding is trying to come. So Senator Cruz says, no, 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 teach academics. If you want to do anything with the mental health of a child, one, you're not qualified teachers. You didn't go to school for that. And so here's what we're going to do. If you do that, then you deserve to pay a fine if the parents find out that you did that. This bill right now is stalled in the state Senate. It's a good bill. It will help protect children. The message there, you don't have to think about what to say when you get our emails. It says right there under action. Contact your senator and say, please vote yes on Senate Bill 129 to require prior written parental consent before a child in the public schools can be subjected to a mental health screening or mental health assessment. You got to have parental consent to go on a field trip. You ought to have parental consent before you can do anything from a mental health standpoint with a child. Protecting female athletes. Who'd have thought we'd have to pass this bill, House Bill 1088? But it goes along, again, with controlling the children and molding them into what you want them to believe. Remember when we heard about the homosexual marriages? Everybody said, those that wanted homosexual marriages said, all we want is just to be able to get married and just to be tolerated, just to leave us alone. That was never true. That was just the start of their agenda. Now what they're saying to kids in the schools is you need to believe, students, that whatever you want to do sexually is okay, whatever you want to be sexually is okay, and a boy can choose to be a girl, a girl can choose to be a boy, and you've got to accept that. One of the areas is in athletics. So what we're saying with House Bill 1088 is a boy who says he is a girl can't play on the girls' basketball team. Kind of makes sense. Can't play on any girls' athletics because you know what it is? It's more than just a safety issue for the girls because men are different than women. Boys are different than girls. It's more than a safety issue. You know what it is? What you're telling those children in the public schools, if you let a boy say he's a girl and play on a girls' athletics team, you're teaching the children in the school that you can get up one morning and decide you're another sex, and that's okay. That's not okay. Because sex is immutable. So in addition to safety, this ought to be passed. This bill right now is stalled in the House of Representatives. There are some people in the House of Representatives that say, no, 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 no. We need to let the children understand that they can be whatever they want to be with regard to being male or female. So under action, it says, please vote yes. Call your representative. Please vote yes on House Bill 1088 to prohibit biological boys from competing against girls in sports in the public schools. By the way, after a basketball game, or even before the kids are getting changed, if a boy's playing on the girls' basketball team, where's he going to be? He's going to be in the locker room with those girls. That's not right. He's going to be showering with the girls. That's not right. You say that would never happen in Indiana. North Manchester, northern part of Wabash County, south of Warsaw. An individual called me. It's now been about a month they've been working on this. We've been helping them. Up in North Manchester, they have a boy that the parents say is a little girl, and they're treating that little boy as a girl in the restroom at that school. If that little boy were in middle school, he'd be using the restroom and the locker rooms with those girls. They've set a policy in that school to say, we're going to let a boy decide he's a girl, or a girl decides he's a boy. That's not right. This has to be stopped because this is what they're doing. They're indoctrinating children into this thing that is not right. So that's House Bill 1088. The next one shouldn't be controversial. What's our national motto? In God we trust. And you would think that Senator Cruz's bill would be easy to pass. No, it hasn't been so far. All he wants to do is put a little sign like this big by like that big in every public school classroom with the national motto on it. In God we trust, and the American flag and the Indiana flag. And you would think, boy, everybody would go for that, and everybody would stand and say, yes, Mom, apple pie, baseball, and Chevrolet, and this is wonderful. We ought to have the national motto. There are kids in our public schools that don't know what the national motto is. They don't know that. There's adults that don't know what the national motto is. It's in God we trust. When I testified in support of this bill in the Senate, we had one senator ask another senator, is this the national motto of our country? Yes, it's the national motto since 1956. But we've run into trouble on that. But the action plan is call your senator and ask them to vote yes on Senate Bill 131 to require the posting of the national motto in God we trust along with the American flag, Indiana flag in our public school classrooms, protecting the truth on driver's licenses. Our governor supports the transgender effort and the homosexual effort here in the state of Indiana. He is supporting a rule by the Bureau of Motor Vehicles that says this, that a man can walk into a license branch with a statement from a doctor saying that he is now transitioned to be a woman. That's impossible. It is biologically impossible. But just as you can find doctors who will abort babies, you'll find doctors that will say that a man can choose to become a woman, and a woman can choose to become a man. So our governor says this. Our governor's rule with the Bureau of Motor Vehicles says that if a man walks into a driver's license branch with a statement from a doctor, he can now get a driver's license that says he is the other sex. It's more than just a driver's license. It is setting state policy for schools, colleges, and our society here in the state of Indiana that you can choose to be the other sex. That's not right. It's supporting the transgender movement that is detrimental to children and detrimental to society. But he also says this. The governor says, if you walk into a license branch with a statement from a doctor and you say you don't know what you are, male or female, then you can now get an X on your driver's license. That's insane. It's wrong. It's supporting a philosophy that is a lie, that not only is contrary to the Bible, it's contrary to biology, it's contrary to common sense. But that's what our governor is supporting. So Senator Jim Toms has said, no, I want to pass a bill that says you can't do that. So that's being fought down there. When you turn the page over, it has the action plan where you can call your senator and ask them to vote yes on Senate Bill 74. Now, if you have a pen, take that out real quickly. I want you to have you write something above the next one, protecting Christian schools. I want you to write there, SB 250. Senate Bill 250 has been introduced recently. And it says this, Senate Bill 250, I've got it here with me. Senate Bill 250 says, it's been introduced in the Senate, so right above protecting Christian schools, just put SB 250. Senate Bill 250 has been introduced, and it says, to the Christian school, to Cross Point Christian School, to other Christian schools, you want to take vouchers? You want to be able to help more parents choose a Christian education? Well, here's what you got to do. You've got to agree to hire a man who says he is a woman, wears a dress, wants to use the girls' restroom and teach the kids that you can choose to be whatever sex you want to be. You've got to agree to hire that person. At Cross Point, we won't hire that person. You know why? Because that's contrary to the Bible. We operate our Christian school and our church based upon biblical values. So we wouldn't do it. But it also says this. You have a person come through that door and want to work at Cross Point, and they're a different religion than we are. They're not a Bible-believing Christian. You cannot refuse to hire them. Well, we're only going to hire people that adhere to Bible principles in their life and how they would teach here in our school. But this senator says, no, you can't do that. You want to help people get a Christian education? You can't do it. We're going to, unless you agree to let us tell you who to hire and who you will admit. How do we admit students? What guidelines does Pastor Brent have here at the school? They operate the school under biblical principles. That includes the admission of students and the way they teach the students here. But they say, no, you can't do that. If you want to get vouchers, we will tell you how you're going to run your school, and we will tell you that from a basis of religion, from a basis of gender identity, or you have a man come in, he says, I'm a homosexual. And he says, I want to teach in your school. Or the man kind of deceives the pastor and Pastor Brent. He gets in and says, I'm a graduate from a good college, and I believe this and this and this. And he's been teaching here for about 6 weeks. And then he comes out to Pastor Brent and says, I just want to let you know I'm a homosexual, and we're going to be talking about that in the junior high today at Cross Point. And Pastor Brent says, you won't be teaching here anymore because you're not adhering to biblical values. This says if you do not agree to keep that person or refuse to hire them, you cannot accept vouchers. You say, well, I guess what we'll do, we'll just won't accept vouchers. Two things. Number one, this is not just an attack on vouchers. Vouchers enable thousands of children, including many here at this school, to get a Bible-based Christian education that they would not be able to get. It is not the government giving money to Cross Point Christian Academy. It is the government saying to parents, you pay taxes, you have so much money, you can choose to go to the public school or you can choose to go to the Christian school. By the way, the voucher that they bring to our Christian school is less than the money that the school would get if they went to a public school. It's less than the money that they would get going to a public school. So it is not giving money to Cross Point Christian Academy. It's giving money to the parents and letting them decide where their child will go to school. But you say, here's what we'll do. I don't know if we can do this or not, but here's what we're going to do. We're going to no longer accept vouchers, but we're going to keep operating our Christian school. That's not where they're headed. Because remember, their goal is to capture the hearts and minds of the children and control the children. So here's what they would do. They would then say, not only are we going to shut down the voucher program, we will shut down every Christian school because they've got to get control of the children's education. But it won't just end there. Because, you see, our school is a ministry of this church. If they can tell the Christian school who they can hire, how they can operate, are you ready for this? They can tell the church. And if the church doesn't go along, somebody's going to go to jail. Somebody's going to pay a fine. We're going to start paying taxes. They've got to shut down or silence every Bible-believing church. You can read later on about how to look at the bills. You can monitor the legislature by going to the internet. But again, please get emails. With this bill, where you just wrote down SB 250, we'll be sending out another email on that so that you can call your senator and ask them to vote no on that. But you've got the action points on all the others. Take the other flyer real quickly. This bill just came out. This bill is a follow-up to the bill that we killed last year, where it is proof positive their ultimate goal involving the children. It says, urgent legislative alert, protecting children in Indiana. Left-hand side, the government wants control of the children. House Bill 1322 must be defeated. These bills, you need to send an email tonight. They're out tomorrow for Martin Luther King Day. You can call on Tuesday morning. They need to hear from you. This needs to go out on social media. You need to let everybody. There are people that you work with that may not darken the door of a church, but they don't like these things either. So make yourself a committee of one and tell people about it. It's kind of like being a soul winner. Tell everybody that you know about Jesus Christ so they can know how to get to heaven. There are people that need to know about these things that I'll never talk to, but you do, or you can connect with on social media. You need to let them know. It says in that box, parents are responsible for raising their children, not the government. A whole lot of legislators disagree with that. House Bill 1322 threatens every child in the public school. If it passes, first bullet, over 1 million children in the public schools beginning in kindergarten could be subjected to a mental health screening. Teachers are not qualified to do a mental health screening of children. Teachers are not qualified or trained to do a mental health evaluation of children. Teachers are not qualified to do that. They need to be teaching reading, writing, and arithmetic and leave everything else to the parents. Second bullet, the mental health screenings will be assessed by a teacher or school personnel to determine if the child is at risk or not normal, according to the government. Those children labeled at risk or not normal by the government will be subjected to re-education. By the way, this is dangerous. This is more than what it used to be. Rather than putting children into a classroom to teach them something different than maybe what their parents believe or what the Bible says, now with computers, they set them in front of a computer. And this computer tracks their responses to things that they're answering to questions. And then those responses all go into a database, and that database is not secure. That database can be sold to businesses, sold to other people. These things need to be stopped in the school because the school has no right to do this to a child, collect all this data, and then have that data go out to somebody else. Next bullet. They'll have re-education for as long as it takes to change the child's attitudes, values, and beliefs, including religious beliefs. For example, ask a question about how a child, these are all things about feelings and attitudes and values, how a child believes about kids who are different from them. Like a child maybe that is a homosexual. By the way, the best friend a homosexual has, you know who it is? It's a Bible-believing Christian who will tell them the truth about their sin, that Jesus loves them, died on a cross for them, and will forgive them for their sin. They need to repent of their sin and turn to Jesus. That's whether it's homosexuality or any other sin. But what the people that are supporting this pillar say, no, you cannot do that. Remember, you have to be kind, and so you have to affirm, you have to agree that what they want to do with their life is okay. Well, if you got a child that's in middle school or a child in fifth grade or something, says, but I haven't been taught that. That's not right. That child is going to be re-educated for as long as they can, as long as they want to try to get that child to change their values or their beliefs, or about being male or female, or the authority of the Bible, or the authority of parents. Many of these tests they give these kids, you know what they tell them? That their responses will not be shared with anybody, including their parents. It's not right. It goes on. Next bullet. Information about the mental health screenings and assessments and labeling. By the way, you're going to label a child second, third, fourth, fifth grade as potentially mentally ill. That's a label that may stay with them for the rest of their life. It's not right. Information about the mental health screens, assessments, and labeling and re-education will be placed in the child's school file and could be given to businesses and organizations. You say, no, wait a minute, Eric. I understand HIPAA. When you go to a doctor, that nobody else can get that information. Records in a school are not protected under HIPAA. They're accessible to other people. But we used to have what's called FERPA. It's a federal law to protect the privacy of students. In the last 10 years, that privacy protection in the school has, in essence, gone away to where schools and these software companies can make money by selling this data on students. Last bullet. Next last. All of this could be done without parental consent. There's no real remedy for a parent to protect their parental rights, and their child is subjected to mental health screening, assessment, labeling, and government re-education. Should never happen to any child in the public schools. Schools should be teaching academics, not trying to practice mental health. House Bill 1322 must be defeated. Right-hand side. Call or email your state representative right away with the following message. Please vote no on House Bill 1322 to protect children in the public schools from mental health screenings, assessments, and labeling, and government re-education. There's the phone number. You say, I'm not sure who my state representative is. Go to our website, put in your address, it'll tell you who it is and their email, how you can get a hold of them. This bill I just told you about and these other bills, try finding them in the local newspaper. Try finding out about them on the local news. Try finding out about them on the radio station. You won't for the most part. That's the way the politicians want it. Fake news in Washington, D.C., no news here in the state of Indiana. So what are we going to do about these things? Well, first of all, please call or email. Email tonight, email tomorrow, call, put it out on Facebook, get information out to everybody that you can. And continue to get our emails and respond because things happen very fast at the Indiana General Assembly. First thing you can do, you can all be praying as you have been. Pray for our elected officials. Pray for the election coming up. Pray for the legislature. Pray for Advance America. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man really does avail much. Second of all, you're getting informed like tonight. But I can't be everywhere. I was at Suburban Baptist Church last week, and as I travel around the state, go to different churches, I can't get to everybody, but you can help with that because you know a friend of a friend of a friend. It just keeps multiplying as you put information out. So please do that. So you're getting informed, and then please get the information out to everybody that you know, and then contact your representative and senator. They need to know that you're watching what they're doing. They need to know. It's just like if you had a child in second grade and you never gave homework or quizzes or anything or a report card, you'd have no idea what they're doing. You couldn't hold the child accountable for what they don't know, what they're doing wrong maybe. You've got to hold these elected officials accountable. But we need an army. We need an army to win this battle. You see, the other side has millions of dollars here in the state of Indiana, lots of organizations, lots of businesses, lots of powerful individuals, and lots of powerful powerful elected officials. So we need an army to counter that. Where's the army going to come from? The army to give us freedom in the Revolutionary War came from the churches, because the men and teenage boys were trained in military maneuvers after church on Sunday mornings, and those men and teenage boys were called Minutemen. That's how we got freedom in America, because the people in the churches gave us the army to win the Revolutionary War. The army today is sitting in Bible-believing churches. They're just waiting for their marching orders to be praying, getting informed, contacting their elected officials, and then voting, vote biblical values, like you're going to get a voter guide before the election this year. But we need help to get this information to the other churches. That's where the Proud Hoosier Partnership comes in. Many of you have joined the Proud Hoosier Partnership over the last 11 years, and you've renewed your involvement. And when you open that up, all it costs is just $8 a month, $96 a year. It's an investment in your family, your church, freedom, the battles that we're involved in, because nobody's doing what Advance America does. I appreciate the pastor's kind comments about us, but it's true. There is nobody doing what we're doing at the State House and have done for the last 40 legislative, it's our 40th legislative session. But we need help to get the truth out to people around the state. Vicki and I will be back at the table. People that join get the latest edition of the book that I wrote on how to understand and impact Indiana government, phone numbers, emails for the House and Senate, and then a patriotic book or DVD. I'd encourage everybody to do that. At least $8 a month. This is over and above your tithe. But it's a way for you, in a tangible way, to help us get the truth to people around the state of Indiana. When you think about children, I think about Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan said in 1964, "You and I have a rendezvous with destiny." For the Christians, this. Everybody here, we've had two funerals lately, as Pastor mentioned. Brother Bob Brooker and Mary Lee. We're all going to die one day unless the Lord comes back and takes us in the rapture. And so we're all going to die, and we're going to give an account before the Lord. We have that rendezvous with destiny. It's something that we can't avoid. It's going to happen. For a Christian, the Lord's going to say, "What did you do with the time, the talents, and the treasures that I gave you? Did you take a stand for righteousness in your home?" You see, the Lord created the home. Did you take a righteous stand in the church and help Crosspoint move forward and do more for the Lord than it's ever done before? And did you do what you could to take a stand for righteousness in the government? Did you do that? Because not only to protect the freedoms we've got now, but we've got to lay the foundation for freedom for future generations. So Ronald Reagan said, "You and I have a rendezvous with destiny." He said this, "We will preserve for the children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we will sentence them, the children, to take the first step into 1,000 years of darkness. If we fail, at least let our children and our children's children save us. We justified our brief moment here. We did all that could be done. All that could be done. One day, we'll give an account before the Lord. But guess what? You're still here. You're still here because the Lord has not said it's time to take you home to heaven. And if you're sitting here and not saved, then praise the Lord you didn't die yesterday, because you wouldn't be in heaven, but you'd be in hell, because hell is real. That's another thing that they don't want children knowing in the public schools, that there really is a heaven, there really is a hell. Jesus really is the only way to heaven. And if you don't accept Jesus, then you're going to spend eternity in hell. They don't want the children in the public schools taught that. They don't want them taught the absolutes out of the Bible, that there really is things, there are things that are right, there are things that are wrong. But we know that because we come to Cross Point Baptist Church. So yes, we need your help. The children need your help. The churches need your help. And there's a lost and dying world all around us that needs to know the truth. You can take these handouts and all the things we put out and give people the truth about what's happening in government and urge them to get involved. That's the right thing to do. But also, you know what we need? We need more Bible-believing Christians who will join with us here at Cross Point Baptist Church, who will be part of this mighty army for Christ, to be soldiers for the Lord and patriots for America. First of all, be a soldier for the Lord. Accept the Lord as your Savior. And then say, "Lord, here am I. Send me. Show me what you want me to do." We already know what you want us to do in the home, the church, and the government. But what else do you have for my life? And then to also be a patriot for America. To do what you can to help keep us free here in America. These are dark days for America. These are dark days for Indiana. But you've heard tonight about the battles going on. We need your help at the State House. But the people around us need to know there's hope for all eternity too. And we need to look up because our redemption draws nigh and do all that we can now. Because one day we've got a rendezvous with destiny coming. But it's not just political issues. It's not political issues at all. It's what did you do with Jesus? Lord Jesus, thank you for the ministry that you called me to many years ago and birthed it in the basement of Eagledale Baptist Church, and have given me the opportunity to be the eyes and ears and spokesman for the churches and people of Indiana, for families. Lord, these are indeed troublesome times, but the situation is not hopeless. Lord Jesus, may everyone here be assured of their home in heaven, that if they were to pass away tonight, that they would stand in the presence, your presence, because they've trusted you and your shed blood on Calvary's cross to wash away their sins. And then, Lord, may people go out of here encouraged with the fact that you are a God that answers prayer and wants to do great and mighty things, not just in our church and our family, but in our government too. And Lord, may they go out of here purposing in their heart to do all they can in their home, in the church, and in government to take a stand for righteousness and to turn back this wave of evil that is attempting to sweep over our state. Lord, grant us that there will be people who will stand in the gap for righteousness here in Indiana. May this church grow and prosper more than it ever has in the past, following the leadership of Pastor Arrowood, the legacy of Pastor Defoe, and those that have gone before. And may 2020 be a year where we see great victories in our homes, in our church, and in government. Grant it to be so. In Jesus' name.